The major point of contention here is that Afenifere, led by Chief Ayo Adebanjo, have said that, you see, in the past, this Afenifere had always been politically relevant. Whether you believe in them or not, they had always been politically relevant. That is very clear. And even those on the opposing side now of some of the issues they're raising used to be, they were beneficiaries of this same group. So you're not going to run them down now at this point. I think that it is dangerous. It is unfair. And I also think that it is quite un-Yoruba-like for anyone to say that as far as these elections are concerned, it is the turn of the Yorubas. It is not the turn of anybody. That doesn't mean you can contest as a Yoruba man. Fair enough, you go on your own strength. But to whip up that Yoruba sentiment will definitely backfire on you, and it is quite unfair, and I don't understand where it's coming from. The first president we had, Obasanjo, was there for 8 years. He's a Yoruba man. The current vice president we have has been there for 8 years. He's a Yoruba man. We've had 1, 2, 3 speakers. If you add Ete to it, we've had Ete, we've had Gbaja, we've had Dimeji, what's his name?
Bankole.
He's a Yoruba person. So if you want to run your campaign on the fact that it is the turn of the Yorubas, as far as I'm concerned, count me out. I'm not saying I will not vote for, but I will not vote on that premise. The second premise is just as faulty. What we have had in the past is that our leaders, and I'm sorry, we need to tell ourselves some home truths. And I think I have the authority of age, which people always throw at you, to say this. Our leaders have always been in this thing for themselves. Most of the people who are parading the Yoruba cause, can they point to anything that they have done that is anywhere near what Obafemi Awolowo did for the Yoruba people? Rather, what you have, their children, their siblings, their cousins, their friends, their associates have always been beneficiaries. Take a look at Yoruba land across the board and see the kind of development that you have. And then you ask yourself, is this commensurate with the brain power that we have, the resources that we have had? What you have again is the same thing. Their friends, their accolades, their sons, their daughters. So what I am saying is that I support Chief Ayo Adebanjo to think that the Southeast has been marginalized. Seriously, the support, Obi can stand on his own, whether he's an Igbo man or not. But the added thing that for the first time, we are now going to have Nigeria in a balance, but also tilts it in his favor for somebody like Adebanjo to say that, yes, if we want peace all around, he can lay claim to that. And I think it just stands to reason. So let whoever is running, let them run on their own personal steam and stop whipping up this tribal sentiment. I think it is selfish. I think that anybody who wants to lead this country must have unity in his head. You're not going to be president of Yoruba land. You're going to be president of the country. So if you continue to put forward that it is your turn, then other people can do so likewise. So my final submission on this is let us wipe out this argument, please. Let us just wipe it out. Let Nigerians vote for the person that they want. Let Nigerians vote for those who they think will salvage them from this dire situation that we are in. And to the people, to the rest of us, do not believe all these things. Either way, both for and against, think of yourself, think of your life, and think of where your future lies ahead. That is my submission in the first instance. We will enter the second phase at another date.
I mean, I was going to ask the question, but you've put everything together pretty well, because I was going to ask that, you know, campaign starts tomorrow. These guys, and by these guys, I mean politicians,
yes,
will start coming through with all kinds of tactics and propaganda. And, you know, there's no way they will not play the tribal card
and
the
religious card too.
The religious card,
yes.
Like, what should people focus on? What should be their focus as electorate, as a beautiful bride that these people are coming to court?
Well, some of them are not so beautiful.
the voters, I mean.
Oh, the voters are beautiful. Yes. Even the voters, not all of them are beautiful, but we'll get to that. You see, because some of them are doing this, some of them will cast their votes for what I will call immediate gains that will gag them later in life. But that's a story for another day. We'll keep, especially the younger ones, we'll keep educating them. We keep educating them that you are on your own. You are on your own. This is the only season when you'll get the attention of these people. The moment, you know, you should look at history. You don't need to go far. 4 years ago when you were running around, you know, campaigning, insulting people and doing this and that, at the end of the day, what did you gain? Maybe a few of you became SSAs and became this and that. Look at their children and look at yourself. We can't run away from that. We can't run away from that in this country. Your universities have been down now for 7 months. Where are their own children? You know, so back to what you just said. One of the reasons why I'm so worried about playing religious card, ethnic card, is that there is usually going to be a spillover. And that was what predicated my argument against this Muslim or Christian ticket. Nigeria is at a very, very sensitive point. Go and sell yourself to the people and stop raising all these undue sentiments that will fall flat on their face. But you see, what I learned in, I can't remember in which book I read it, is that sometimes when you feed a lie consistently to people, it becomes the truth. Do you understand what I'm saying? It becomes the truth. Because, and I believe that by now, even if I don't know who I will vote for, of course I know, but at least I will know who I will not vote for. Because I've told our people, be careful what you listen to when it comes to propaganda. When it comes to things like manifesto and things like that, be careful. Pin your candidate down to an action plan. Let him, after he has done all the dabaru, whatever, he say, Oga, you are going to take, if you take government in June, what is the first thing you are going to do? Pin. And for our colleagues in the media, please, 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 I beg of you, let's be very imaginative in our job. When these politicians do come, you know, pin them down to specifics. It's not any broad manifesto talking about this agenda or that agenda, highfalutin words that even sometimes you quickly set in your phone that what does it mean here? Pin them down. You say things like, okay, what are you going to do specifically in formal education? Can you give us your action plan? How to get us out of this mess, this actual mess, this university mess that we are in? Pin them down to specifics. Don't give them any leeway. Don't give them any leeway. And again and again and again, I say to my people, don't vote for people because they come from your area, because you'll be worse off. The first set of, look at their, you don't need to go far. Look at their children, look at their friends, look at their associates. You don't need to go far. Then look at the ordinary person. You know, you have security issues. They are the ones who will have 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 policemen. You'll be bound to the Philistines. You have to go and hire, OPC and all these things to guard your neighborhood. So you hospital, the same thing. Schools, the same thing. So don't be deceived by all this. I beg of you. Because it's my fellow Yoruba man or my fellow Igbo man, or we are both from the north, you are not going to gain anything, I can assure you. It's all a myth, it's in your mind.
Indeed. Let's move on to our next story from The Punch. We'll come back to The Vanguard later. FG reverses Varsity's reopening order. ASUU adamant.
This is what I call a ding-dong government. I can no longer cry about these things. I can only but laugh, you know, and pray to God Almighty to save us from these embarrassing situations that we have. Look at what has happened. First, you said the university should open. Then less than a week or thereabouts, you say, oh, no, you shouldn't open again. At a time of a crisis, we are not even sure of what we are doing. Is this how to govern people? Is this how things are done? Is this how, first of all, you took ASUU to court, came back, opened university, closed that? Because you don't want to sit at the table and do the needful. You don't want to make a sacrifice. The imbalance in salaries and emoluments across the board, you don't want to narrow it. You don't want to, politics are involved in all these things. because a lot of your children are not in these universities, then you begin to play ping pong with the lives of our people. It is very sad. It is very, very sad. I am highly disappointed in this APC government. Highly. More so when whether we state it or not, some of us were involved somewhat in getting this government in place, because I don't believe in journalism of being 100% fair and seeing the truth and not saying it. Part of my responsibility as a journalist, which is a new thing in the world, is to tilt your people towards what you consider is the best for them. You understand what I'm saying?
Right.
You can't tell me that between a thief and an honest man, I should create a balance so that two of them will have equal opportunities when I know in my conscience what is going to be. Mm. You can't do that. So it is highly disappointing that at this time the federal government cannot get its act together and take a firm decision as to what to do. If you don't learn a lesson from what is going on now, you will never learn.
That's an interesting way to cap it there, because I was actually particularly concerned about why the government will issue two circulars hours apart, go and reopen the universities. Don't open it again.
I think we should just leave it, because you see the whole world is hearing us. You know, we get calls from. Don't forget, it's not just us Nigerians that are. This is embarrassing. Somebody sent me an article this morning. I don't know if it is true. It was forwarded at the United Nations, whatever. You found that all the European ministers and so on and so forth, they stayed in average hotels. They came in average cars. They even did car sharing amongst themselves. Hmm. The Africans came in limousines. They stayed in Manhattan, the most expensive place. They stayed in the most expensive hotels. And then you will find six of them coming in six cars like that. I mean, what is wrong? And these are debt-ridden people.
Exactly. Though. These are supposedly poor people.
These are supposedly poor people.
Hungry
and you're
people.
Asking these people for debt forgiveness. They will come and entrap you the more. There is something wrong with us. I can't place it. But part of what is wrong is that if you look at the degradation of our educational system, it's about 20 years old, 2025. So those who are coming from that system, who are now almost directors in the ministry, you can now see how they run the country. So 20 years from now, if you continue with this nonsense we are doing with ASUU, and we don't shore up our education, this country will be completely run down. Because forget the president. That's why I always say that in this country, you need the president who is hands-on. The bottom is weak. The middle level is weak. It is those who have come from this background that are now running things that would issue an order and reprobate, in less than 24 hours. Can you see the danger of what we are talking about when we keep saying that our universities have to be well-run? Or is it all these are kids who have the kids of the rich have gone to Cambridge and Oxford and whatever? From there, they move on to international jobs. So Nigeria is facing a real head-on crisis. And sorry to say, it appears, I'm using the word carefully, that our leaders just keep thinking of themselves. But they have this cat that they throw amongst the pigeons. How do you put it? You know, all of you will be scampering. No, he's a Catholic like me. No, he's a Muslim like me. I don't know. Sasa Latu, he's this and that. You use that as a basis to vote. They get there, and then you are not even a beneficiary in any form. Look at the one who controls all these urchins that are running around the town. That's a very good example for you to see. He's not learned. He can't string two sentences together. See how he has taken care of his own children. Some of these urchins running around at the same age with these children, how come they haven't decided that, okay, instead of you people to be running around, what I've done for my child, let me do it for you. Okay, let me institute scholarships and so on so that your lives can be better. No! And yet we can't smell the coffee. Amo. We can't smell the coffee. Second base.
Oh, wow. You can watch us on Facebook and on YouTube if you like to watch Nigeria Info 99.3. You need to search for that on Facebook and on YouTube as well. And drop your comment as you watch, okay? Let's go to the Punch newspaper. Okay, so military veterans protest on paid allowances. That's right here.
I'm sure all of you remember. Thank you very much. You remember one Saturday when I brought one gentleman called Old Soldier. He was here. We were weeping in the studio with Onyeye here. Tears were falling down our eyes of their experience in the Civil War. How for about a month you wear a same pair of shoes without even being able to take them off. Same uniform, same everything. We were here. There were two of them, elderly people. Why did they come here that day? We were trying to help them to appeal to the government to pay their allowances. Civil war of whenever it was. Look at the year now. It was 20. I think it was last year. We did 2021. This issue is very simple. You do not treat your military veterans with levity. It is sad. In other countries, military veterans have tried to board a flight in the United States before, a private flight, you know what I mean, Delta. And they said, okay, we are going to board in the following order. Military veterans will come first, and we thank you for your service to our country. You know, that's a country that appreciates. Here, we can't even pay the allowances that we owe them. And that is why you find that in the recent past, you find generals being accused of amassing this and that and that and this. So if we can't do it, how does this now encourage our younger people who are in the military today and put their lives on the line? Do you know what it is to put your life on the line for your country? Every time you go into battle, there is a 40-60 chance you come out alive, meaning that 40% you're most likely to be hit by something. Some of them have, you needed to have seen the two soldiers who came. Sharif, if you were here that day, you would walk out. You needed to have seen their condition. And since then, they've been calling, appealing. You've turned them virtually into beggars. If a man is a military veteran, the least you can do is give him medical for life. The least you can do is to tie his pension to inflation. You can't put your life on the line for 20 years for your country, and then you now live a life of complete penury. So I agree with these military veterans who had gone to protest, but it's not the first time they're going to do it. But I think what makes it more sad for me, what makes it sad, very, very sad for me, is that the president himself is a soldier. And if anybody doesn't know, he should know.
Well, they are...
He should know.
They are... The veterans are calling for the removal of the Minister of Defense.
It won't solve their problem.
They're saying that he lacks empathy. He's been there. He's retired. And all their pleas are falling on deaf ears. And he's not even showing any empathy to their pleas.
It won't help them.
Isn't the president has approved for the payment of their...
Sharif, it won't help them.
Okay.
What would help them and what is going to help us in the near future until we become a fully developed, we have a good developed system, is for us to have a president who is hands-on. If the Minister of Defense is not sympathetic towards their cause, doesn't the president read papers? Isn't he going to read the point this morning? And his SSA is going to mark this story for him? Isn't he going to be able to put a call to whoever it is, saying that, how come these people are still... And this has been going on for long. If the Minister of Defense knew that there was somebody who put a phone call through to him and asked him questions, do you think he'd be doing that? The truth is that the system has broken down. Everybody watches the... You see, the way we are structured generally is watch the body language of your leader. If your leader has zero tolerance for these things, then you will know what to do. Guess what? I don't know. I'm just guessing. How are you sure that the money to pay this pensioners is there and somebody hasn't worked it?
Oh, that's another thing.
Have you not heard of people who have done jobs for government? They wait and wait and wait and wait. The bank sees everything they have. When a new government comes in and you investigate, you discover that the money had been paid. Ah, but we've paid you now. then how do you say Oyi in
get dizzy, get lightheaded?
No, yes, dizzy is not like Oyi.
Yeah, Oyi is different.
Omaluleni.
Oyi stronger.
With Oyi, you go like you go in the cartoon Omaluleni. When you've done a 250 million naira contract, and you did it. Look at inflation. Maybe you did it 15 years ago to even get that exact amount. Now somebody now finally tells you that, Mr. Sheriff,
we paid you.
We paid you 10 years ago. Now
yes, no.
Come and see
in us. Full.
In full. Look at.
No, well, it's really pathetic. We shouldn't be treating veterans.
We shouldn't be treating anybody, yeah. Even as civil servants.
Right.
We shouldn't be. You see, part of it is that we saw pensioners being treated. My late uncle, my mother's uncle, actually, Papa Lira, I grew up to know him as a pensioner. He'd sit in his balcony every morning on the 25th day. No, in those days, there were no systems. He had to physically go. On the 5th day, he put on his best suit. Papa Ibolenlo, I'm going to collect my pension. He take one small boy along, and off he go to the office, and lo and behold, his pension is waiting for him. In this Federal Republic of Nigeria.
This same country.
That is why we keep insisting that we have to put a premium on education. The system has broken down. The civil service, the recruitment is based on man, no man, and go there and bring something home for us. That's the new system. If you are from Ogbomoso and we have our son there, his job there is to make sure that all sons and daughters of Ogbomoso get jobs through him, all contracts go through him, and that's his primary thinking. And of course, his own. I'm sorry, I'm using Ogbomoso.
Sorry, Ogbomoso people.
I have a friend Akula from Ogbomoso. But I just, you know, that the thinking has changed. People, when I remember civil servants like in the days of Simeon Adebo. Abba. You know, these were world-recognized civil servants of this same country. This same country. Maybe we should be colonized again.
When I was... Oh, no. No, no, we shouldn't. When I was in the civil service, right?
You were in the civil service?
Oh, yes, of course.
So did I.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Ah?
I was as a clerk now. Eh? A library clerk in Federal Ministry of Justice for 1 year.
For 1 year? I was there for 3 years.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
And I remember when I worked
with Radio Nigeria.
Were you paid twice a month?
No, just once.
Oh, you
I'm
worked
not that old.
Sorry. When I worked, it was twice a month. I mean, you'd be around 11. Maybe you've gone somewhere rascally. Somewhere said this would they be looking for you. What in Sowo? Twice a year. I got to dodgy now.
Eh?
I bought radio cassettes.
So I made my mind. I made my decision that time that I wasn't going to be a pensioner because I started seeing pensioners coming to the radio house and to come and beg those of us that we didn't even know when they were employed. We didn't even know when they retired. Some of them we knew, you know, for money. And I told myself, I said, nah. So, I am not ending up this way. It's not going to happen. So I had to leave.
What you said is significant because this is what drives corruption.
Yeah.
That's why you would have a civil servant. You remember there was this woman on level 12 that had an estate in Abuja?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
You remember? That's what drives... 70 to 80% of civil servants are businessmen. They're just there to be close to where the honey is. That's why I don't believe all these things. It's Irani is a lie.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, it's their associates, their children, their wives and their girlfriends that will benefit. There's nothing for you. So we better have that one fixed in our heads. Oh, yeah, Ojari. Any other one?
Yes. Let's take this one here. Yeah, I have one PTO here. Let's see. Yeah, should we take this one? What is this? Oh my! What? Okay, so there's this story here.
I hid it from you.
What?
I hid it from you. I didn't want you to see it immediately.
Eh?
Honestly, we at 7:57.
I'm looking at the time. Let's just read the headline.
Read the headline.
Kogi seals church over bulletproof water. Unregistered hospital.
There is a church in Kogi that says that they sell what they call bulletproof water. So the authorities moved in.
Oh my God. And they had
people actually, come on, go to the social media and see how people force everything. Bulletproof water. You know what? At 9 o'clock, I'll tell you the story about these bulletproof things. Let's just have a bit of fun today.
Yeah,
about
yeah.
what happened to Andy Kulakpo when somebody gave him a bulletproof vest. You need to listen to it at 9 o'clock.
Okay.
I want Mugu.
Wow.
They were selling bulletproof water.
All right, we have to go now. Thank you so much for coming. That's our show, Lagos. Sorry, sir.
Sheriff, don't kill me. I'm
sorry, like sir. Sorry, sir.
Bulletproof. Mm.
Good morning, Lagos. The news is next.
Have you been disconnected because you didn't link your national identification number to your MTN number? Don't worry. If you already have your NIN, here are 5 ways to reconnect. 1. Dial *785#. 2. Text your national identification.
And I want to assume that you would run because I want to give the listeners context for the conversation.
In 2019, you were running mate to Atiku Abubakar. What did you learn then that you will not repeat this time?
Yes, when is the president coming out to address us?
There's a few things. One, I have a burden and a passion for young people.
The fact that you have elected a man does not mean then you begin to order him around. The president will do whatever is good for the country at any given time.
Mr. Adesina, isn't the president responsible to the people?
What should the next president do to root out stakeholders who are complicit?
You fire those that need to be fired are fired.
It's looking like a brand new Chelsea, attacking with so much fluidity. And what can you say about that, Martin? I know you follow Chelsea quite closely.
I live close to the Chelsea training ground. That's what you mean by that. I'm not